situation with situation happening in Europe, and despite that, the president, who was on a trip, just kind of goes on with the, with his vacation. He gives a 30-second comment about it, and then, you know, what I find odd about this president is that he seems to do things that anybody else would look at them and say, well, he's lazy or he's indifferent. But the fact of the matter is, it comes across as being self-serving. He doesn't have to stop his trip because he is making sure that the radicals know that they're not going to interrupt our world over here, and the president is not going to be forced to bend to their wishes, and to, you know, we're not going to be, it seems like that is his overall strategy. I think it's, frankly, it's just pathetic. It's pathetic to see that kind of leadership, because, you know, the president in a lot of ways acts like he's just marking time. He can't wait to get out of office. And, you know, it's just, he's bored with America, but, you know, has he ever stood up to lead? I mean, has he ever committed himself to leading this country? My impression is he's not impressed with America, and he doesn't like America. He's indifferent to our history, or he's totally opposed to it. We're racist. We're slaveholders. And while he's in office, he's going to do the bare minimum that he has to do. And in the meantime, he's going to do a number of things that degrade the safety and the spirit and the ideological vitality of America. He's going to give confusing and contradictory and ruinous leadership until he gets out of office. That tells me a better picture of what he's done in office than anybody else. I mean, this idea that he's got all of these great achievements, and then Walt comes on and says, boy, you should have seen what a great leader he would have been if he hadn't been opposed by the Republicans. I think that is so, and I hear that all the time, that is just, it's a pathetic explanation for the failures of this guy. You know, he could have been a contender. He had a full House and Senate for 2 years and was completely baffled by the process and never bothered to learn how to lead a democratic republic. All right, here's his speech in Cuba.
Thank you. Muchas gracias. Thank you so much.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Muchas gracias.
President Castro, the people of Cuba, thank you so much for the warm welcome that I have received, that my family have received, and that our delegation has received. It is an extraordinary honor to be here today. Before I begin, please indulge me. I want to comment on the terrorist attacks that have taken place in Brussels. The thoughts and the prayers of the American people are with the people of Belgium. We stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people. We will do whatever is necessary to support our friend and ally Belgium in bringing to justice those who are responsible. And this is yet another reminder that the world must unite. We must be together, regardless of nationality or race or faith, in fighting against the scourge of terrorism. We can and we will defeat those who threaten the safety and security of people all around the world. To the government and the people of Cuba.
All right, so that's basically the whole thing that he said about the attack. And I don't know. I just find it so discouraging. Don't give me a leader that is embarrassed to lead me. Give me someone who's enthusiastic. Here's what Charles Krauthammer says about this.
Well, as we showed you earlier, the president's public response to the terror attacks was actually pretty brief, fairly low-key. Let's get reaction now from syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer. He's in Washington tonight. Charles, he obviously topped off that speech with a statement about the attacks and how the world needs to be unified. This trip is obviously being overshadowed now by the events in Brussels.
Well, Obama gave the terror bombing 51 seconds of his speech today in Havana. I thought the whole story of this presidency and its foreign policy was seen in the split screen. On one side, you had the video footage of the attack in Belgium. This is the real world. And on the other side was Obama in the fantasy world he inhabits, where Cuba is of some geopolitical significance in his mind, but none in the real world. If Cuba disappeared tomorrow in a volcanic eruption like Santorini, nobody would notice geopolitically. But Obama had to go because this is legacy. This is settling the Cold War arguments of the academic left of Obama's Columbia University days, the people who worshiped the Cuban Revolution, the Sandinistas. Obama had his picture taken in front of a relief of Che Guevara, which sort of stated his worldview of his adolescent days, and now he does it as president. On the one hand, is the real threat to the world. You heard from Chairman McCall.
All right, so we'll take a brief, well, we're almost finishing this hour, but you get the point. This is leadership. What I was thinking when I'm listening to this, what kind of a country would actually impress this guy? What kind of a country would Obama actually be proud to lead? Would it be, you know, Stalin's Russia or Mao's China? I don't get it. I mean, how terrible are we that he has no enthusiasm for the job? It says everything about him and really nothing about America. He's just like living in a bubble. It's like he's so autistic, he can't see anything but his own image in the mirror. We'll be right back. 657, Kelly O'Connell Show. All right, so we're out of time here, but we'll come back and get some more into this, how this election and terrorism go together. I was going to do Weird Wednesday. I've got a few stories for you, but I think next week is probably a better day to totally dive into it, but I do have a few weird stories. 659, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Got a hunter's moon outside. I was going to point it out while it was still dark, but beautiful moon. We'll be right back after a break on the hour. It is 7:06. It's real pleasant outside right now. Not too chilly. There is in the air, though, some pollen and such. And so be on the lookout. I'm sure if you've got problems with it, you're already hacking your lungs out. But they've got... All right, somebody just sent me a text. Ted Cruz winning in Utah should not be news. I'll get to the latest thing. I don't know if Beck has said anything outrageous or I'm still trying to put together in my mind what Beck is trying to do from a theological direction. But anyway, we talked in the first hour, if you're just tuning in, about the bombing in Brussels, and it turns out to be two brothers who bombed, and they both had black gloves on the left hand. And the explanation is that there was some sort of a tripwire in the gloves, whatever. The third bomber got away. There's a bomber that got away. But I had read an article in which it had talked about what had happened. It's funny that, you know, Trump himself had mentioned that he had been to Brussels and how beautiful it was. And he said he'd been there 20 years ago. I had been there some years ago, and I was really impressed with Brussels, and now they're talking about what a hellhole it is. And so Europe is stuck in this situation that we're stuck in. We're trying to get stuck in. The president is making an argument. Much of it is implied in his statements that we have to take these people in. And the president is moving heaven and earth to bring as many Muslims as he can into the country. Now, Europe has already done this, and so there are now no-go zones in Brussels. There's no-go zones in Paris. There's no-go zones in a lot of these places have enclaves that are Muslim. And, you know, you're sending yourself back to go into them. You would go back in time to the time when people put their own courts together and had radical justice as a result. And people that were so inflamed about their religion that they would kill you for saying the wrong thing. In other words, people who have not accepted the Reformation, they have not accepted the Enlightenment, and they're not interested in pluralism. They don't want to adapt to the West. We're bringing in and have brought into Europe. If you see America as a European colony, which is what we started out as, and we're on the same basic set of principles, you have people who have talked themselves, who have argued themselves into a position where they have to take in millions of people over a short period of time who totally disagree with them, and deep down many of them would wish the Europeans death or at least total subjugation, and it's unabated. You know, Germany is bringing in this calendar year, or at least in these 12 months, according to Angela Merkel, the president of Germany, she wants to bring in 1 million Syrians. I mean, if you're a statesman and you look and see what's happening, what's your reaction? And to me, somebody who's an Obama, a Merkel, is an anti-statesman. You're going off of a set of principles that don't at all deal with facts on the ground. They're utopian. They're how the world should be as opposed to how the world is. They're a set of ideas that have to be applied no matter whether the local people want them or not. And that the results of these ideas, of these laws, are irrelevant because we're building the world that we want, not the one, you know, that we have. And if people resist it, they're bigots, they're racists, they're religious, people that don't accept other people's religion. So instead of seeing an incursion of extremely resistant and hostile and violent individuals, Angela Merkel and Barack Obama and these other people see a wonderful opportunity to bring in this new culture. And when mayhem and violence are the result, in almost a total upheaval of society, Merkel and Obama shrug and said, we were doing the right thing. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. I mean, I find that disturbing that a leader we've developed in the world, a messianic style of leadership of these people, clearly, you know, the Obamas and Merkels clearly see themselves as different apples and oranges from other people. And they're working on an international plan to cure the world of all of its sins and problems. And in the meantime, many people are going to suffer and die. And by the way, history proves to us that you can't get to where these people claim they're going to take us, because that's not the way. You wouldn't build a better world by bringing a bunch of religious zealots, violent religious zealots, into your country and say, you know, cure these people, accept these people, because those people who you're bringing in are more committed and more passionate, more dedicated, and willing to go to farther lengths to make their point than anybody you've ever met. They will go to a school where there's a bunch of kids and blow everybody up to make their point. And they do it time and again, these two brothers in these families. There's someone coming into these communities, these ghettos in Europe, these Muslim ghettos, and they're saying there's a reason for your misery. There's a reason for your suppression and the fact that you don't have economic vitality and that you don't seem to fit in. And Allah sees your pain. He hears your cries and he's got an answer. And here's your suicide vest. Here's your bomb. Now go kill as many people as you can to make the point that our God is better than their God. All right. Here is your headlines or some of the stories out there. Trump wins Arizona, Cruz wins Utah. They both take all the delegates out of those states. But it just so happens that Trump gets 58 over 40 for Cruz, so he gets one step closer. He's about 500 delegates away. Trump is claiming Muslims are not reporting terror activity. People living in Palo Alto making $250,000 a year. Housing is so high, you could qualify for subsidized housing. Can you imagine that? $250,000 a year and you're living in Section 8. All right, so they've got a new HIV therapy that can wipe out the virus within 2 weeks. A federal court rebukes the IRS for Tea Party targeting and orders the release of their lists. And 1 in 3 Americans have not saved one dime for their retirement. And only less than 3% of Americans live a healthy lifestyle, whatever that means. Comedy Central host is shocked by Black Trump supporters. So there's a fair number of Black Trump supporters out there. All right. So Obama is celebrating in Cuba right now, repatriation. He's calling Cuba a brother to America. In the meanwhile, they're blowing up Europe, and Obama is not going to. He's not going to give in. He's not going to give in. He's barely going to say anything about it because he's not going to be pushing around. Sure, that's the reason, Mr. Obama. I'm sure it's not that you're indifferent or think that you're above the topic or secretly afraid of touching it. And in the meanwhile, more Cubans are flocking to the Texas border and shattering previous records for crossing. Anyway, here's a little break, 7:15. We'll come back. I've got some Trump talking about what to do with the terrorists and terrorism. We'll be right back. 7:15, Kelly Kennel, 7:16 on the button. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Candela, candela, me quemo. Mucho baila una butilla para una gran diversión. De timbalero la
All right, so a little bit of New Mexico news. 70% of New Mexico incentives going to large companies, and this is from the Albuquerque Journal. So, you know, the backbone of economic growth is through small businesses. Nationally, something like 80 to 90% of new jobs are created by small businesses. But about 70% of the state's spending on economic development goes to large instead of small businesses, even though half of those employed in New Mexico work at, less than half of those employed in New Mexico work at large companies. And so just to let you know about that, and here is a little more news, and I'm sure you may have heard this already, but Bernalillo County man first confirmed case of Zika virus in New Mexico. So we're not supposed to be a hot zone for this. But a Zika virus infection causes no symptoms in 1 out of 5 people. So anyway, I'm sure we're going to have a lot more cases, and New Mexico becoming an abortion magnet because we have the fewest restrictions of almost any state. And 0-to-1 restrictions. And because of the shutdown of abortion in Texas, and a large number of abortion providers have been shut down in Texas, or at least locations, nearly 20% of the roughly 4,500 abortions performed in New Mexico in 2014 involved women who were out of state. Texas, Arizona, and Oklahoma adopted 10 or more restrictions for abortion. So what does that make you feel like? In any event, I've got for you here a little bit of Trump on the refugee situation.
There's something going on, Maria. Go to Brussels, go to Paris, go to different places. There's something going on, and it's not good, where they want Sharia law, where they want this, where they want things that, you know, there has to be some assimilation. There is no assimilation. There's something bad going on. And until we find out what it is so we can correct it, you go to Brussels. I was in Brussels a long time ago, 20 years ago. So beautiful. Everything's so beautiful. It's like living in a hellhole right now.
Wow, that was an eerie prediction by 2016 Republican presidential candidate and frontrunner Donald Trump back in January. Mr. Trump now joins us on the phone. I'm sure you wish you were wrong, Mr. Trump, but you were right. What did you see that maybe others didn't see about what was happening in Brussels and Belgium?
Well, it's what I'm hearing, and you have radical Islamic terrorists all over the place, and it's not going to be the end, and it seems to be a breeding ground. But, you know, you have other places over in Europe that it's the same thing, and we're going to have it over here too, because we're allowing thousands of people to come here, Sean, and we have no paperwork. We have no idea who they are, where they are, where they come from. They come in through the migration, the so-called migration, which could be the great Trojan horse of all time. And we have absolutely no idea what we're doing in this country. We're sending them all over the country, and it's a serious problem.
Well, I can give you the exact numbers. In the last 5 years, the United States has issued 680,000 green cards to migrants from Muslim nations over the last 5 years. Now, I know you came under fire for saying we ought to have a temporary ban. Okay. But here's what the National Director of Intelligence, James Clapper, James Comey, the FBI director, Obama's special envoy to defeat ISIS, General John Allen, have all said, like in Paris, ISIS and other terror groups will infiltrate the refugee population. To me, it seems the president, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders are willing to gamble with the lives of Americans. What do you want to tell the American people tonight about why that is so important?
Well, I think I really have to tell them. And, you know, you could say I came under fire, but I've also been praised by many people.
Well, that's true.
Many people agree with me. 100%.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that, you know, you come under fire for it, but yet you were right in January, and we see the terror is happening here, and we're being warned by our intelligence community, and our president won't listen.
Yeah. Well, we better get tough, and we better get smart, and we better get vigilant, because if we're not vigilant, to start off with, we're going to be in big trouble in this country. And I'll tell you what, you look at parts of Sweden. I don't know if you heard what's going on in Sweden, where they have one little section where it's all been radicalized. It's just crazy. And they're having tremendous problems. And you look at Germany, the areas where these people are settling, and I'll tell you what, it is a very, very disturbing thing that's going on in Europe. And we're going to have it over here, too. And they just can't do what they're doing. I hope this election takes place fast. I hope I win. And believe me, they're going back. We're not going to keep them here. They're going back.
Mr. Trump, let me ask you this. Today's attack seems to be retaliation for the arrest of the Paris mastermind, where over 130 people were killed, which happened on Friday, which means there were terror cells.
But I wouldn't call him a mastermind. He's a lowlife.
An evil thug, murdering, killing.
Yeah.
We can use any term you want.
Mastermind.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now, you said that if he was here in the United States, now I would suspect that he knows where other terror cells are throughout Europe and in Brussels and in Belgium. And you said that, and I agree with you, that we should use advanced terror enhancement interrogation techniques on him.
Beyond waterboarding.
Explain.
All right. So you catch the guy last week, and it looks like retaliation for his capture that, you know, these bombings that took place today would have been three, except I guess the one bomb, either he didn't do it or something happened. The bomb didn't work. But it would have been three. Even more people would have been killed. And these are people that were so badly hurt. These are people for the rest of their lives are destroyed if they live. So what happened is you catch the guy last week, and they probably have lawyers all over the place. He's probably got lawyers, you know, saying, you know, you're going to go to trial in about 7 years, and nothing happens. And then you have the big bombings today. If they would have put him through the grill 10 minutes after they catch him, he probably would have ratted him out and maybe stopped this horrible terror attack that took place today. He knew about it. It was about him, most likely. He knew about this happening. In fact, they say he was going to do something himself. Probably he was involved.
I would agree, and he probably knows where other terror cells are.
Knows the people that are behind it.
Of course he does.
He's never going to talk. And we're not fighting on the same playing field. The problem is we don't fight on the same level. We have laws that protect everybody. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Don't touch him, don't hurt him, please. In the meantime, they go around killing people. They have no laws. We have the laws to protect them. It's absolutely crazy.
It's insane. Let me give you Hillary Clinton's response. She responding to you and your call for enhanced interrogation techniques and the fact that we'd have a temporary ban. She actually said the following. We can be strong and smart without advocating torture or bigotry, and we'll not let fear dictate our foreign policy. And then she said this about enhanced interrogation on the Today Show in response to you.
Our country's most experienced and bravest military leaders will tell you that torture is not effective. It does put our own soldiers and increasingly our own civilians at risk. But we do have to give law enforcement and intelligence professionals all the tools they need to do the job to keep America safe. And they don't need to resort to torture, but they are going to need more help.
And then, Mr. Trump, she said that the borders must be kept open in the wake of what happened in Brussels. This is obviously going to be a very choice. This is going to be what we.
All right. So you heard that now. All right. I find kind of this interesting thing that what liberals want the world to look like, they support policies towards it, and then they pretend that or they're totally deluded into thinking that if you follow these policies, the world's going to get better. And then they're shocked. They're shocked when things don't work out. They're shocked when they hike taxes and the economy falters. Look in this valley, you know. They're surprised when the border is left open and then criminals and felons are allowed to come in and stay. And then those felons go and attack other people. From what I understand, and I haven't done enough research on this, but I had seen a couple of stories that said that just the having the border open the way that we have, I don't mean to state the obvious here, but meaning that you're not really checking people who come in, there's been a tremendous spike in crime, and also the people that are incarcerated, a lot of these people are foreigners that are coming in, illegals that are getting caught in crime. But I mean, think of all the heartache that's bringing into people's lives. Now you're talking about capturing people that have information on terrorism, terror cells, that type of thing. Should those people be subjected to enhanced interrogation. What do you think? What is waterboarding? Waterboarding, from what I understand, put somebody upside down, put a board under their nose, and run water. I mean, I think that's basically it. It's not torture in the traditional sense, but because it's gotten such a bad reputation, people don't even want to consider it anymore. But you hear constantly these liberal leaders saying that torture makes us less safe. You know, I mean, enhanced interrogation makes us less safe. Is that really true? Do they have facts? Do they have studies that support that? No. But because they believe that if you go forward in the world and do more and more liberal policies, if you have more and more liberal tax policies and government spending policies, the economy is going to grow. Why? Because you're doing the ethical thing. You're going to be rewarded. You know, the universe is going to reward you. If you have a war on terror and you protect even the rights of the terrorists, even in foreign countries where they're not under the Constitution, if you do that, you're going to have a better outcome. I mean, there's so many things that they believe that are totally contradictory, not just contradicted by history, but by common sense. So anyway, we'll take a break here. I've got a reaction to Trump from the ladies on The View that I think you'll find very interesting. And I was surprised. 7:30 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We will be right back to listen to the Blabbermouths on The View. All right, 7:33. The president is in Cuba. He is going down to South America. In the midst of this terrorist attack in Brussels that killed, from what I understand, between 30 and 40 people, some in the airport and some in the subway. And the fact of the matter is that they blew up the desk at the American Airlines. So there's your symbolism for you. And the president gave a very brief message. He's not going to be manipulated into changing his schedule. The president always knows best. The Washington Post says there's a lot of pressure on the president to change his to move away from his instincts. The knee-jerk reaction, the knee-jerk support of liberalism, this kind of liberal universalistic religion that the president and Hillary and all these other people support, in which you do the right thing, whether it makes common sense or not, and the outcome is going to be a better world, a safer world, a more prosperous globe. All fantasies, of course, because liberalism is based on false premises. All right. Did you know that the president bows down to foreign leaders and such? He refuses to recognize the authority of the American people, but he will bow down to a foreign leader. Now, when he, without getting any concessions, flew to Cuba to normalize relations, they didn't even bother to meet him at the airport. Isn't that hilarious? He gets treated like trash by these people he bends down to. It's such a joke. We have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show.
Good morning, Kelly. I am a vendor out at Big Daddy's.
All right.
All right. And I was out there selling Sunday. I used to sell at the farmer's market.
Where is it? Just for what's your first name, by the way?
David. I sell the ear candles.
Okay. So where is Big Daddy's? Just so for people's information. If you don't mind. Are you there? Thanks for the call. So we got this guy back. Is this David?
Yeah, this is David.
David, so we're okay. just hold on a second. For people's information, Big, you tell them where Big Daddy's is?
Big Daddy's up here on I-70, and it's full nationalist Mexicans, all right?
Okay.
Now, I'm out there selling. I want to dare any liberal to come out there and sell and listen to what these Mexicans are saying. First of all, they want Trump dead. Second, this is continuous. This is all the way through the line. This is all day long, okay? And the second thing they're saying to me is this is their land, all right? They're coming here to take back their land. The third thing they're saying is we will not work. They are the only ones that work. They are driving the prices down. They are destroying our economy. They're bringing us all down to a taco an hour. I came down from northern New Mexico. I sold ear candles here for years. I did the prophecies down here. I'm no longer allowed to sell at the farmer's market because of the liberal. All right? I am a registered Republican. I have been active in all the social activities with I know all these people. I dare any liberal to come down there and sell for a Sunday when it's packed and the Mexicans are walking around. And these are tacos. You understand tacos? Tacos are guys that stand with their cowboy hats that are pointed straight up, their headbands, their belts, and their boots all the same. These are tacos. These are drug runners. And they're thick down here now, and they're heavy. And they do not want us. They are talking about killing people.
How do you, David, how do you know they're, just for the sake of education of the people, how do you know they're drug runners?
Because it is their forte. This is the dress code that they wear. I am in this market, okay? I'm no longer allowed to sell at the farmer's market. I used to sell out coolers, totally ticked off all the little, whatever you want to call them, liberals, be a nice way of putting it, people down there and everything like that. I call them spineless, all right? We are going to be run over. They're here, they're now, and they're coming in thick. It's all over the place. Everybody is dealing drugs around here. There's no other way to make money.
Wow, that's sad. All right, David, thanks for the call. Anything else?
Planning.
Briefly.
What they want is, they want race wars. They want to alleviate the whole government in all the way around the world. This is going to become a totalitarian socialist country.
Well, that's communist. What we're fighting against at the radio. Thanks for the call, and good luck. Good luck out at the all right, wherever the place he said he was at. I've never been out there. All right, so sounds like a weird experience, though. All right. Here's what Trump said that he would do. If anybody else knows about what he called in about, feel free to call in. I'd like to find out some more. Here is Obama Amateur Hour. Okay, so I was in the middle of telling you, Obama rejects the American people. They're not sophisticated enough. We don't care about the right things. We've got a terrible history. He, you know, surrounds himself with leftists. He goes out and makes friends with his enemies, and he goes ostentatiously out of his way to honor these people. And, you know, he goes to Iran, gets rid of this embargo against them, and they get their $150 billion. They go to buy planes. Do they thank us by buying Boeing? No. Iran then goes to Airbus. You know, there's no – and this is classic. You see, Obama has a very weak constitution. He's kind of a fearful person. That's why he's afraid to tangle with the House or the Senate. He acts like he's better than they are, but he doesn't have the skill set because he never bothered to develop it. I'm sure he could have if he had wanted to, but the skills and the contacts to work with the Senate and the House. So he doesn't get bills passed through. He got the one thing he went to bat for was Obamacare, which was passed only on partisan lines. Only Democrats voted for it. But he goes and he basically grovels in front of these people and they laugh at him. They don't even meet him at the airport. And he considers himself the great human being, the world spirit, as Hegel called it. He's the greatest living person right now because he's the most enlightened. Check out what Trump says he should have done when he flew there and they didn't even bother to meet him.
I mean, we are amateur hour, folks. Amateur hour. And honestly, Obama should have turned the plane around and left. No, you should have. You should have turned it around. You should have said, bye-bye. Vinny's not here. And I'm not knocking Castro. I mean, if they can get away with this stuff, it's great. They're making a great deal because, you know, they're making a deal. I said, it's fine to do it, but you got to make a better deal, like the clause I told you about. But honestly, number one, it should never happen. But if it did happen, it's called bye-bye. We'll see you in a couple of years or maybe a couple of decades. You don't do that. He got in his car. He drove. Nobody to shake his head.
Nobody meets Obama in Cuba. He's such a fool, and he thinks he's the greatest thing that's ever occurred. He's the next Jesus, you know. I've never seen a more deluded person. 742 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Are you embarrassed? AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180. This guy isn't beyond an embarrassment. He ignores and punishes his friends and allies. He lavishes praise and honor on his enemies, and they laugh at him. He's a laughingstock. That's your president. We'll be right back. And I'll give you a little bit from The View. The bimbo eruption on The View. Actually, they came up with some great points, and I was impressed, so I'm going to play it for you. We'll be right back. All right, so I've got The View here, but first, and I've got an article I'm going to tell you about called Europe's Fear of Islamophobia Led Directly to the Belgium Attacks from The Federalist. But let's first, what are the chances of Trump winning now that he took Arizona? Listen to this from, this is, I guess, NBC or something. Check this out.
Big deal. Nicole Wallace, we haven't checked in with your parents recently who are
Trump supporters.
Trump supporters.
Cut off diplomatic relations. The Trump fella. No, listen, but I said at the beginning of the night, I mean, for Trump to have a good night, he had to just win Arizona. And he didn't just win it. You have to add up Cruz and Kasich and Rubio to topple him. I mean, I think the story of the night has to again be about Trump's dominance in this Republican field. And I think it renders foolish The amount of conversations that are taking place in Washington, as Steve Schmidt said, about a brokered convention. It is still the most likely outcome that Trump simply gets to 1237. Yeah. And I want to offer you a possible explanation for why Cruz spent time there. Ted Cruz isn't running to win the nomination in delegates, really. He is running to make an argument at the convention. He is running to make an argument to the delegates. So he's trying to win among as many different kinds of voters.
But in order to do that, he has to help engineer.
All right. So it looks like he's going to have enough delegates if he's on the same pace. All right. Check this out. The View, the dummies on The View actually came up with some pretty good insights. I was impressed. Check this out.
Tell you, I woke up this morning and I saw the news and I got sick to my stomach. I got a little sick.
I woke up and saw Joy Behar and got sick, funny enough. But check this out.
And I was angry also that this is continuing to go on and plague us. There's no end in sight what's going on in this world. Did you have a similar reaction?
We always get a phone call from the news division if there's any sort of breaking news. I got a phone call around 4 o'clock this morning. I knew something was wrong. But the scary thing is here, it's not so much about these lone wolf attacks anymore. The fact of the matter is there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of terrorists that are embedded in communities, which is scary.
I've been saying this for a while. It's not official, obviously, for the government to say, but we're in kind of a world war situation.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. everywhere,
That's
and we
right.
need to definitely see what's going on and what's coming out of our mouths to fuel the fire.
And people have been saying that for a long time, that we are at war, with, I don't want to say at war with the Islamic faith, but we certainly are in a war with terror. And I am just tired of seeing this over and over and over and over again. When does it end? And what do we do about it?
When is no longer amongst us, but the fact of the matter is it's always going to be a battle between good and evil. And as long as evil is in this world,
we're
going to be fighting
these
battles.
It's more complicated than just good and evil, I think. It's very complicated.
It is complicated.
It's got to
But when you reduce it down, it's good versus evil, is it not?
But when does it come down to, aren't we all on this planet together? And when are we going to realize that this planet isn't going to house us forever? We have to live here
together.
Well,
that's something else.
That's to me. No matter how old you get, you should remember that fact. If you have a problem, let's flush it out in a different way than killing mass people.
Except that when you're suicidal, you don't care about that. And that's the problem. You have people who are willing to kill themselves. It's very difficult to fight that.
And they're willing to die for their beliefs,
So, yeah. You can't. No one. It's an impossible enemy. They lack courage.
This is what the front runner of the Republican Party had to say, Donald Trump. Watch.
Well, I'd be hitting ISIS so hard, and I was not in favor of Iraq, and I was not in favor of a lot of things. But with ISIS, with the chopping off of the heads, and this is ISIS related, as of course, you've got to hit ISIS so hard and you've got to take them out and not play tiddlywinks like we're playing right now. I would use maximum interrogation technique. I would use waterboarding, and I would try and expand the laws so we can go beyond waterboarding.
Okay, so he wants to waterboard people, which a lot of people, including terrorism experts, say does not work. Mm-hmm. He wants to close the borders. He doesn't want any refugees coming in, just in case there are a couple of terrorists mixed in there. He wants to get tough on ISIS. He doesn't say how exactly, as if other things have not been tried. What do you think about these comments?
I'll be honest. I went to law school because I want justice in our world and peace in our world, and it's sort of my moral compass is always on the side of justice. And I am so tired of seeing this senseless death. I thought Donald Trump sounded really reasonable today. My law enforcement background kicked in. Because we need to be forceful. We can't have these muted responses to terror.
What's an
we
example
need
of a muted expression?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton came out with what seemed to be a very muted response. And let me also say this about Donald Trump. We trash him often here. Bottom line is, in January, and you've been saying that,
I've been
Raven,
saying that.
In January of this year, he said Brussels was a hellhole, and this is an interview with Maria Bartiromo on, I believe, CNBC. I could be wrong about mm-hmm. that. He said there is something going on, Maria, and it is not good, talking about Belgium, where they want Sharia law, where they want this, where they want that. You know, there has to be some assimilation. There is no assimilation. You go to Brussels. I was in Brussels a long time ago, 20 years ago, so beautiful. Everything was beautiful. Now it's like living in a hellhole.
Okay.
He said that in January.
Okay,
so
he and he also was
it.
Right about, you know, the fact that we went into Iraq, which was a huge mistake and part of the problem.
He was right.
So he's right on a couple of things.
So his foreign policy isn't so outrageous.
You know, we were talking about this in the makeup room. Did we ever think that Donald Trump would be the voice of reason? I think his reputation and the fear that so many people have of him is that he's got the nuclear code. He's got his finger on the button.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yesterday he came out with NATO and said, let's not be an interventionalist country. Let's not go where we can't fight these battles. Let's actually fix the problems here at home. Today he says this. We don't need to send troops over there. He actually sounds a little bit like a voice of reason.
But he seems reasonable today.
Let me tell you, because, you know me, I've been trying to, like, watch it. I'm not a very big fan. And I look at it and I go, you know what? He didn't understand the I'm going to use the word verbiage. I don't know if it's a real
verbiage.
Word. It's verbiage.
Verbiage.
He uses the verbiage that you use when you close the door to your house and you say it with your family.
Yeah.
You don't say those things outside the door. And that's what got everybody in an uproar. He always had his points that people, the millions of people that are voting for him right now or wanting him to be the forerunner, you know what I mean? You know
front
what I'm trying
runner,
to say?
Front runner.
He's